that in order to speak precisely about everything what I wanted, it would take more time than I will have. Do I have like 60 minutes, something like this? Yeah. So I probably will have to skip at some point. However, I will try to not save on understanding of whatever I will be talking about. So basically the plan is I would like to first I would like to present you the approach to foundations of post-quantum information theory, which is based on geometric objects. And in order to motivate it, I would like to first just go into quantum theory and then investigate some forms of nonlinear dynamics associated with some geometrical structures that can be introduced on like quantum states. Then I will present the framework, and then I will use this framework as a motivation for more general considerations of how the notions of emergence of observer in multi-agent communication framework could be established and investigated using category theory. So basically, like I would say that like the general idea that one can think of is that we have like here, I'll present analytic, first I'm motivated, secondly I will present the analytic framework that is like based on geometry, and it's like intended to be a sort of another approach like GPTs are. Like GPTs are based on convexity as something fundamental. Here I would like use geometric objects as non-convex objects as something fundamental. But at the end, I would like to consider it only as an analytical model for something that I would like to be a purely category theoretic framework for multi-agent information networking with localization, with emergence of agents and local agents and information relativity being defined in purely categorical way. This is something that is under construction. So, like, while it sounds very, very wild, I will just give you a few aspects of it here, but it's like work in progress. And at the end, I would try to show you something what I consider a currently most reasonable way to approach the issue, how potentially the notion of space-time could come out of this framework. For a long time, I was trying to pursue some other approach. It had I couldn't really like find reasonable conditions for getting something that could glue with generativity. Now I think I found something better. So I would like to share, and this is also a work in progress. So I would like to share with you some hopes that I have. Okay, so I also should control time very much because I haven't slept like for 24 hours, I think. And also I'm usually like talkative with too much, and when things could be taking less time, so I need to kind of find the system to control my speech. Anyways, so basically to motivate this, what I want to say, I'll first tell you about how one can start from density matrices, investigate some sort of geometric structures on those spaces of density matrices, and use them to build up interesting forms of dynamics. So here I will be considering spaces of sets of density matrices that would not be required to be normalized. One of the reasons, for example, is in this paper on post-quantum steering, people use, there are various reasons why people would like to use non-normalized density matrices. The only reason for normalization is really probabilistic interpretation. So if one wants to use quantum states as devices for some non-standard measuring semantics, then in principle, like normalization is not necessary. Let's consider distances that don't have to be symmetric and don't have to satisfy almost nothing. Like a standard example is like relative entropy, but there are other examples, especially the other example. Is there anything to show? Oh, here it is. Mm-hmm. So like there is the second example is pretty nice because actually the second example is symmetric and it's a square of norm in the Hilbert-Schmidt space. Or if you prefer like algebraic perspective, this will be just GNS norm. And there are some other examples of various relative entropies that are studied in the literature, mostly in kind of information theoretic context, but also thermodynamics, I mean, or statistical mechanics. And now like having this, like this is the part that I actually, this is standard part of a few talks that I gave, but somehow I need to define those notions. So I'm sorry for if someone already saw those few slides at the beginning. So like when you have like already relative entropy functional, we can define a specific mapping on this on state, which is called entropic projection, and it's basically taking relative entropy. Like let's say that we fix some state and we take relative entropy. We take also some subset, and we go through the members of the subset, evaluate the entropy, see when this value takes when this functional takes the lowest value, and if there is a state for which this value, like there is a unique state for which this is minimum, and such thing exists, then we pick up the state and return it as a result. So arc means basically picking up the state that, and so on. And it's naturally, it doesn't have to be the case that it's for, if you will take random entropy and if you take like random set, that this will just not be well defined. So the art is to choose whether, if you choose entropy, then to know more or less among which sets you should search, or vice versa. Yeah, if you have some strong preferences with respect to what type of sets you consider as your data, then you have to like adapt your choice of the relative entropy. Basically, you might think of it the following way: this is like some mapping, so it's like some prescription for information dynamics. Yeah, because we just process information states. So this functional is sensitive, produces like this mapping produces you nice results with respect to specific data types. So like those sets for which you get like this is well defined, these are like proper data types to use in this procedure. Otherwise you just have misspecified the input to your computer. And like for example, like for this for the Hilbert space norm, the entropic projections are just ordinary projection operators. And like the reason why, what is so interesting about this, this is nonlinear mapping, and what is interesting about this is that actually, so like, okay, this is like wrong direction, this should be later, but basically, like some time ago, it was shown that Bayes' rule can be derived as a special case of like entropic projection, and also there were some statements in literature that Luder's rule should be interpreted as Bayes, an analog of Bayes' rule for quantum theory. Like it was always missing some sort of exact formulation, and like to be honest, it's not really the same. However, somehow there is some reason that can be given to those intuitions, in the sense that one can show that both are special cases of some more general updating procedure, which is also, which has like still very nice information theoretic interpretation. So basically, like having this, one can say that, well, okay, like using Bayes rule everywhere is pretty constraining, and like there are other rules of updating. So maybe instead of like thinking of imposing that we really need to use Bayes rule everywhere, after all, we have also CPTP maps. So like, anyways, we are kind of doomed. One should like try to look how this more general procedure, how far one can go with applying this to different cases, like, and yeah. So this is also like, this is like from the, I would say, foundational perspective, but there are some other independent reasons. Kind of, I originally was more interested before like getting very much into like various foundational frameworks. I was thinking about foundations of non-equilibrium statistical quantum statistical mechanics, and from perspective of research there, this entropic projection seems to be can be like given independent justification as an object interesting to be interested at. However, like from the foundational perspective, it's clear that like we have like in this von Neumann's basic formulation for quantum mechanics, there are like two forms of dynamics, unitary and collapse, and so basically like collapse updating due to by data from measurement is a special case, as Bayes rule is, and as other rules are of the relative entropy maximization. So which is interesting. So this is like we have like one geometric structure corresponds to like one form of dynamics in foundations like von Neumann's foundations of QM. So now we can try to investigate some other geometric structure and see where it leads us. So like let's consider for a moment space of self-adjoint trace class operators. So like it's a bit bigger than non-normal. Like if you think, I promised myself to not overwhelm anyone with functional analysis today, but like if you think of like trace class operators, this is like some space, and like there's this positive cone and we have density matrices there, but like here there is still like nice space. It's a real Banach space of self-adjoint trace class operators, and the Banach dual space to this real Banach space are precisely self-adjoint operators. So the nice thing is that this set can be equipped with real Banach manifold structure, smooth manifold structure, and with tangent spaces just given by the space itself. It's kind of pretty primitive but working construction. And then contingent spaces are just Banach duals, so which are self-adjoint operators, which means that basically, self-adjoint operators are the Lie algebra of the group of unitary operators. So we have a situation that cotangent space of something that, of something what is, of cotangent space of something on the manifold that contains all our states, this cotangent space has by itself the structure of a Lie algebra, and it's a Banach space. So actually it's a Banach Lie algebra. And those generators are generators of unitary groups. So like you see that there is like some possibility of actually getting a Poisson structure there if you are kind of more into like Abraham Marsden type of thinking on dynamics. So, and this is so actually like we can take commutator in self-adjoint operators, and like by co-adjoint action we can actually induce the Poisson structure on smooth functions on this manifold of self-adjoint trace class operators. This is so far so good. The good thing is that like now we can investigate submanifolds of the space that consists only of quantum states. Yeah, so like we kind of induce like manifold structure on something bigger, but at the end of the day, we are interested only in manifolds of quantum states. Basically, the good thing here is that like every smooth function on quantum states, as a result, it determines a Hamiltonian vector field. It doesn't have to be a function that is given by self-adjoint operator. So somehow we get Hamiltonian structure on quantum states that is more general than the one given by just unitary operators on in the algebra. And this structure can be a bit generalized, but I will skip on this. So now if one calculates what are actually Hamiltonian equations for such thing, we actually get that the Hamiltonian equation is an exact generalization of von Neumann equation. So this H is a smooth function of density matrices. Every smooth function, real valued smooth function on density matrices can be put here. And this is, if you like functional analysis, this is Frechette derivative. And that's all. Now, if you would put any affine function defined as an expectation with a state, if you put it here, then you precisely recover von Neumann equation. However, if you put something else, then the solutions of this equation are not group of unitary operators. So this is like more general solution. So we have like interesting, pretty natural Poisson structure on quantum states that allows us to investigate nonlinear Hamiltonian dynamics. This is cool. Okay, so this is like to sum up. Okay, it's pretty good. So to sum up this part, we can have two elementary geometric, almost for free, two elementary geometric structures on the spaces of density matrices. Relative entropies, there is like wide variety of them, and Hamiltonian, like Poisson structure and Hamiltonian flow. I want to make here right now the notice that it seems that it is only one possible structure, but it is not so, because we have just chosen to co-induce the action from self-adjoint operators, but we could actually, as mentioned here, there is like we could relax those conditions and basically just require that our model is a submanifold to pre-dual of some Banach-Lie algebra. It doesn't have to be like the one of self-adjoint operators. So there is also some variability in the bracket here. And basically, if you choose some, the variability is precisely controlled by the choice of Lie algebra of whatever you want to be your local generators of dynamics. And when you will be trying to integrate it, it will give you not necessarily like it give you like unitary evolution or something, but like just locally in the point, you still have those generators of this algebra. So, okay. And like the interpretation is standard in the sense that it's like, I put here nothing by hand, like relative entropy is like if you pick up like random paper on like applied quantum information when people like estimate things like density matrix estimation or something like, or like entanglement, like there are those like millions of papers on entanglement and other things. They're like relative entropy can be legitimately said that it represents the convention of best estimation inference. And on the other hand, like this evolution, Hamiltonian evolution can be interpreted also like pretty naturally as a convention of causality in this like more narrow dynamical sense. Not okay, and using those two objects, we can define corresponding forms of dynamics. We can combine them together, and this generalizes precisely unitary evolution followed by projective measurement, because like in special cases we get projective measurement and von Neumann equation. Now there is a question like, okay, to what extent CPTP maps can be recovered? So like there is this general decomposition of CPTP instruments to those components. So the question is like, to what extent partial trace and also connection, like mix of partial trace and projective measurement could be recovered. So Morten, who was a PSI student here in previous year, in his master thesis or essay, he proved that partial trace is an entropic projection. Now we are working on like building up full-fledged reconstruction theorem for CPT maps, assuming that we can freely apply tensor products. And so hopefully like in some future, I could be able to say that CPTP maps actually are special cases of this paradigm. And you know, like, I mean, it's not something like, how to say, it doesn't require heavy duty forcing, because like both objects here are essentially nonlinear and CPTP maps are linear, so kind of, you know, there's a lot of flexibility. It's really the applications or some sort of additional semantics that should be used here as a justification for reasonability of using this type of prescription for dynamics. Okay, so we were in density matrices, nothing foundational so far, just some applications of some tools. And okay, so now the idea would be to actually turn those tools to foundations. And at the end, the nice thing would be to just forget operators at all and forget Hilbert spaces and just do geometric structures on some manifolds or some sets, and eventually sometimes just under specific conditions recover quantum mechanics as a special case. Mm. And also like there is a question how it should be recovered, and like I want to make immediately the comment what I mean here by global and local reconstruction. So for example, when one analyzes like when one looks on existing approaches to like reconstructions of quantum mechanics, it seems that all like I cannot say that all, because I don't know all, but like those that are most popular, like symmetric monoidal categories or like GPTs, they are global. So it means that like all the theory works with some space of states. You have some prescription for states, some prescription for observables. And at the end of the day, you want to say that under specific constraints, you get quantum mechanics, probability theory, PR boxes, some other theories. Okay, but it's kind of, if we are trying to get relativity in, it seems to be like too strong assumption, I think, in the sense that like somehow I think that it would be worthwhile to consider reconstructions that act locally. So like you might say that like locally some user in some whatever would be a reference frame within the framework gets reconstruction of quantum mechanics, but it doesn't like determine all framework yet. So like there some sort of like localization would be interesting. Like here I'm going to precisely kind of convey the discussion in this direction, but I want to to not lose you on the way in mathematics, I want to tell you what is like the main idea at the end. The idea at the end is that we basically, quantum mechanics should be like, you can think of it like a theory of a tangent space. So like, it's something that is like as local with respect to, like, for example, think of manifold of like states, yeah? And you can have like various nonlinear maps and so on. But the point is that like this reconstruction of quantum mechanics would be happening like for some, only in some localization. So like there would be like still possibility of non-trivial translation between different, different localizations. Like the sort of perspective is applied recently. There is this formalism, I don't remember the name, W formalism by Czeslaw Bruckner and others. And like this is an example where you can say that, okay, like locally we have quantum mechanics, no signaling and so on, but there is still some space for doing maps, which don't necessarily have to be like just CPT maps, between different observers. And this is something what is also my intention here. If you think in terms of symmetric monodal categories, you would like to say, you might think of that, oh, it would be nice to have like some category such that specific localizations would be symmetric monoidal, but not necessarily like global category would be symmetric monoidal. So this is something like when I'm trying to go here, and I wanted to tell you this in advance to increase the probability that I will not lose you due to my sloppiness. Okay, so like we have all these geometric things, like those two geometric things, those two dynamics, and now let's do something with it. So the idea would be like, first to like just give up the insistence of any sort of fundamental meaning of eigenvalues, and let's first think that expectations values, expectational values are maybe something more fundamental. Like in the background, I also don't think that probabilities are like should play really any meaning, like fundamental meaning in quantum foundations. But this is something what will pop up later on. So like let's just start. It's like you know it's like ansatz, so it's still not yet precise. Let's start from those sets of density matrices as something fundamental. Let's allow any nonlinear functions on those spaces to be considered as observables. And like the smooth functions would be generating Hamiltonian vector fields if you would ask them to do it. And affine would be the ones that would be corresponding to quantum mechanical observables. Then let's do some geometry by means of those two objects. And then like let's define dynamics of those spaces, like morphisms. Using those maps. Okay, now it's naturally a question like why really need Hilbert spaces in this framework and what's up with all those things that we know from Hilbert's space framework and that do the job for us. So the first thing is like the first thing that this seems to be, well, I consider it like a necessary step for clarification to replace Hilbert spaces by W star algebras. Later, those algebras are intended to be eliminated too, by geometry. But like, we need some, you know, like it's like change of government and so on. Yeah, like permanent revolution, and also replace those sets of density matrices over Hilbert spaces by sets of positive integrals on W star algebras, like. For a person who is like not really into integration theory on W star algebras, you can think of basically we have some algebras that are C star algebras with some extra assumption. So basically, I will have a slide on this. So I will not tell you what they are, but those positive integrals are just linear functionals with that are positive and have good convergence properties, and. And basically, the setting is an the claim is, and but this is just mathematical fact. It's like I don't add anything from myself here. This setting is an exact generalization of Kolmogorov measure theoretic setting for probability theory. This is just true. Okay, so double-star algebra, you can think of it as an abstraction of the property of L infinity space, like space of essentially something integrable functions. But like algebraically, you can just say, oh, we have an algebra. It has an additional star operation that is an abstraction of complex conjugation. It's also a Banach space, and we require one extra condition how this star is intertwined with norm. And this condition is chosen to be such that all operations, all algebraic operations are continuous in the topology of the norm. That's all. We have finished the definition of sister algebra. And like W star algebra is like has some totally cryptic additional assumption that it has to be dual to some other Banach space. And like basically this cryptic assumption is corresponds to the statement that if you have L infinity space, you know that it is a sister algebra, but you know that also it's a Banach dual to L1. Yeah, and here we have like Radon-Nikodym derivatives of measures and everything what we need to have for doing integration theory. So basically this condition is kind of forcing us something what we would consider the reasonably one of the sufficient one of the necessary properties for having like maybe a generalization of integration theory. The pretty unexpected property is that this condition is actually sufficient for having like full-fledged integration. It's like, I still don't understand this mystery, to be honest. And in special cases, and in special cases when the algebra is commutative, this condition is necessary and sufficient to recover all standard integration theory. And if there is like another purely algebraic condition on this algebra imposed, then this is precisely covers this standard setting in which people do, if not quantum mechanics, because quantum mechanics has unbounded operators and so on, then definitely like quantum information theory as it's done in last 15 years. So like bounded operators and trace class operators. So basically like, if you want to do quantum information theory and probability theory, then like W star algebras already have it, yeah? And the element of this positive part of this crazy pre-dual, which you can think of just non-commutative L1 space, it provides a generalization of probability density and of a density operator. I never learned this part, like where A or D is, you know, like, so I'm sorry for like being using a kind of strange English here. Yeah, so we then let's keep up to like this W star algebras, and let's choose the just arbitrary subsets of the positive part of the pre-dual of some W algebra as generic quantum state spaces. Probability theory is there, like density matrix based quantum mechanics is also there. Oh, this is just an ideological slide which tells in more details how these basic integration properties are done. In principle, you may think of this that we are trained a bit to understand like integration based on measure spaces. But this is some, I think some, personally, I think it's like an awkward historical thing that we are not trained to think about integration and probability on Boolean algebras, which is basically, this is just representation of this framework. And you can say that this framework with like traces and bound operators and so on is even worse, it's even not a representation, it's just special case and representation of this algebraic formulation. Okay, we have those states on W star algebra, and like why I claim that it has something to do with quantum foundation. So let's look first on like foundations of QM with like full-fledged ideology, which is, I mean, like something that actually like one takes not only purely mathematical framework, but also means of application of this framework in order to like turn numbers into numbers. And then this framework, apart from like having, it's not only like density operators and linear and like linear self-adjoint operators, but actually there is like full-fledged other theory, the theory of integration of like basically commutative measure theory that are connected by this spectral paradigm, like this statement, well, we can say Born rule, but it's also just a mathematical property. It's kind of hard to run away from it. So like there are those two mathematical frameworks, and both of them kind of bring their own additional assumptions. So like when you just start from Hilbert spaces, you have those methods of construction of quantum models that are in principle like this. I mean, like quantization, like whichever quantization you pick, most of quantizations that are, they are not kind of, they give different results when you do sublectomorphism of phase space of classical theory. So there is like, there's a lot of craziness that happens like in the construction of those models here. On the other hand, like when you actually have like numbers in laboratory, there is all this crazy boohoo with like arbitrary methods of frequentist analysis of data, and like, you know, like people measure something and then they take like I mean, this is what I want to say is that statistical inference is not a theory that is like that procedures of this theory are derived from first principles. It's like various statistical tests are in use. Their justification is partially conventional. Like there are like proofs of optimality of many estimators are like are missing, and even like even the question of optimality of different statistical tools that are used are not considered. So there is a lot of things that like very strange and I would say almost religious things that happen between like numbers that someone is measuring and like this probabilistic screen through which we transport numbers to quantum theoretic formalism. And I think that this is something that is usually omitted in like when people discuss quantum foundations. I think it's if we actually care about numbers in experiments and we want to predict something new in the future of physics, this should be taken into account. So, okay, so like we have this framework, and this framework was cool in late 20s and 30s because it provided a specific solution, very good mathematical, beautiful solution to a specific set of problems, but it's very questionable like whether it provides a solution to all problems that we would call quantum. Like there are no, doesn't provide solution to foundations of relativistic QFT or like non-equilibrium statistical mechanics. So I'm just trying to kind of justify my distrust to, but maybe I can just have this distrust without justifying it. But the observation here is that like if you look at this framework as it is, then there are various dubs that could be pointed. And like from the perspective of like integration W star algebras, you see, oh, here is one framework that in principle is a special case of integration W star algebras. Here's the other framework. Here we have some model construction principles that are not put into books of physicists. Here are some other model construction principles that are put into books of physicists. And yeah, and like maybe we don't need to have like both or something. So the idea is to take quantum states and structures of them and associate them directly with the epistemic data by generalizing the method of associating epistemic data with probabilities. So basically, just take W star algebras and like states over them and just consider this as replacement for probability theory, and that's all. Yeah, and just go, like have one problem of model construction associated directly with data, And so in such setup, like quantum, if one would build quantum theory from this perspective, without this necessity to pay tribute to probabilities, one say, okay, like then the interpretation of those objects here can be carried along the lines of how it is done in probability theory and statistical inference. So quantum theoretic kinematics should be considered as generalization of probability theory, and dynamics, like morphisms of state spaces, should be considered like as a replacement for causal statistical inference. By causal, I mean that like both the issues of causality and inference should be considered on the equal footing. And okay, and now like the observable, naturally the first question is like what then observables would mean if we don't have spectral theory and so on. And like the basic idea is basically to have to say, okay, like here we have some functions of whatever we consider our configuration space. Like in probability theories, we have like this sample space and we have just random variables. Yeah, but like in principle, like you can say that whatever experiment you perform, you have some configuration, there you have some parameterization of those configurations, and you have some functions. So like the idea would be just if the observation would be that if we want to deal with some quantum model associated with some specific experimental situation, we should provide explicit model construction principle. In a sense, like the canonical example for me is like maximum entropy procedure for a construction of like exponential distribution given like your thermodynamical parameter that you can control. And this is like a prescription. You cannot justify this prescription as uniquely good for all situations in life, but you know the class of situation by meta-theoretical reasons. You know the class of situation when it works. And like as a practitioner of a given field, you know how to build the model given your configuration space, like experimental configuration space. So you have already like model construction principle. So in such case, you already have a mapping that guides you from your space of like experimental consideration. You have like model construction rule basically to quantum states that are parameterized by those parameters. So the idea would be that like in order to select which observables in this framework are relevant, yeah, because quantization, for example, is also about like selecting. We don't want to deal with all self-adjoint operators, yeah. We just want to know like which self-adjoint operator corresponds to this particular experimental situation. And the same is here. We want to know how to pick up the observable that describes this what we deal with. So like let's say that you have your epistemic function that you control in your laboratory and you know model construction rule because you have chosen it, like because someone told you like this is thermodynamic situation, I do maximum entropy or something else. Like all probability theory is about like constructing such rules. I mean, sorry, all statistical inference. And so you have those two components. So the idea is that relevant observables are those that satisfy this equation. So like basically the function here should be the same. I mean, the function here should be the same as like when composed with model construction here. This is this may seem cryptic, but I won't like, and you know, it should be worked out in a specific examples. But I just want to show you immediately how one can consistently think about this framework. Okay, so it's like absolutely awkward how slowly I speak with respect to this, what I would like to tell you. So let me invent some sort of optimization here. Okay, so like I will improve the speed of the story because I really want to tell you like the other part of it. Basically, the idea is that like if you take relative entropy, that under mild conditions you can differentiate if it's smooth in both parameters, that second order Taylor expansion gives you Riemannian metric. Third order, if the manifold is smooth, third order gives you two affine connections that, and the relationship between those objects generalizes Levi-Civita definition of Levi-Civita connection. Then there's a example calculation. And okay, this is something what I skip. And like basically for wide class of relative entropies, there is very interesting property that entropic projection onto well-behaved convex set, affine and convex set, actually coincides with the projection along the geodesic that is derived from this relative entropy. What does it mean? This means that actually, like, if we consider if you consider entropic projection as a principle for like generating dynamics, it's generally non-local. However, there are very specific conditions under which we can localize this dynamics and consider it to be equivalent with local free fall along the trajectory of specific geodesic or connection geodesic, which is, this is a crucial step to localize the dynamics. Because previously I told you about like dynamics that is just composed from Hamiltonian flows and entropic projections. But at the end of the day, I would like to have also the prescription for local dynamics. Okay, and this is precisely like one of the new things that I wanted to tell here. So when one takes into, like when one localizes this entropic dynamics, one can take the one form corresponding to local Hamiltonian flow and take one form corresponding to this geodesic, I think the geodesic flow actually refers to different notions. So like this geodesic trajectory, I mean the flow of this geodesic corresponding to entropic projection, and combine them together forming like effective local dynamics that combines, you can say this like dynamics minus, maybe you can call it dissipation. I don't know, like the sort of, basically like there is part that is causal and part that is inferential. And in particular, if you choose this like interesting symmetric example of relative entropy, the derived metric is Wigner-Jana symmetric, and the Riemannian distance is basically the is this formula. And this is, if you look like at geometrization of pure state Hilbert spaces in terms of Kähler manifolds that are encoding the properties of the projective Hilbert space, and you ask how the measurement is described there in geometric terms, this is precisely minimization of this. And like the trajectory that like extremization, like trajectory that extremizes this is the same as the free fall along the geodesics of the Vegeta connection. So here we have like very interesting coincidence of basically like kind of continuous projective measurement is precisely like this local entropic projection. So those, when you connect those things together, and if you try to write the effective description of dynamics in some series, like one can do it like in terms of like local perturbations of Liouvillians, but I try to make like one slide out of it, it's impossible. Other way to do is like to try to do it in terms of path integrals. It's kind of easier, yet a bit more heuristic. However, actually like you can write the formula when you like put something that is a like generalization of a Berry phase, and here is a general, this is like just part that is Hamiltonian part. No, if this would be affine function, this would be just a Hamiltonian. Those things are due to algebraic properties. It's like GNS representation. I don't want to, yeah, I actually cannot spend time on this. There is some term from the metrics, like both Riemannian metric and affine connection participate in the resulting form of dynamics. And the nice thing that if you, this propagator, when you restrict it to the boundary of pure states, it's precisely, this is something that was already considered in the literature. And moreover, this is like very rare case when path integral is exactly defined, in a sense that like this is like this was done by I don't know how to pronounce him, so and Clauder in 85. So like actually you can write here equals, and then you have like so-called Pint-Wiener measure of a Brownian motion, and it's like it's actually mathematically legit. So like the propagator is like it's exactly defined, which is pretty rare. So this is like I showed you like this prescription for global dynamics when you have just inference after causality, but here actually you can have also local description in a point of effective dynamics. I mean point, like local neighborhood naturally, because we have path integration, yeah? But in principle you can restrict it to any germ of like any local germ, like whenever you have like this you can distinguish two points. I mean beyond jet bundle, because jet bundle is like purely algebraic. Okay, so so now, reconstruction. So dynamic can be global and local, and reconstructions, as I was already advertising, can be global and local too. And like, this is like, I just write here the conditions to get back the quantum mechanics probability theory. Basically, this is boring. This is something what is just kind of trivial properties of the formalism. I mean, it's nice that this framework has backwards compatibility, otherwise I would not be giving a talk about this. However, somehow the insights gained from it are not enough because, like for example, GPTs cover, like they don't cover this geometric part that is nonlinear, but apart from it, like this W star algebraic part is kind of covered by GPTs, so it would be not enough if this framework would be considered like, it's hard to consider this framework like being really fundamentally new, deep approach to foundations if the reconstruction would be considered globally. However, reconstruction also can be considered locally, and this is a completely different story. So think of that actually we, in a given point, we take this tangent and cotangent space, and we now interpret the vectors in a given point as representing states and effects as corresponding to observables. There's actually a categorical way of thinking too, but I will not go into it. And now you can say that corresponding to this like local dynamics, local kinematics, you have also local dynamics that you like associate with this tangent space. And yeah, and you can also combine them. So now you can think, what if we would just start from arbitrarily spaces, like sets, like forget about W star algebra. So let's just take sets equipped with like Banach-Lie-Poisson structure. There is no necessity for Banach-Lie-Poisson structure is like well-defined analytical object that doesn't require any reference to operator algebras at all. Like there is no hidden operator algebras in definition of the Banach-Lie-Poisson space. So like there is no faking. Like this is just Lie theory put to infinite dimensionals with good control of existence of Hamiltonian flows that are integrals, like locally integrable. So it's like it's legit. On the other hand, there is like relative entropies, and you know relative entropies they absolutely don't require any sort of algebraic structure too. So now how we could take them and maybe like add some other condition and get quantum like W star algebras out of it and effectively quantum mechanics. So this is work in progress, but I want to tell you like the main idea because it's a very legit idea, at least I believe so. So like W star algebras are basically Banach-Lie-Jordan algebras with star that have preduals. This is so far not very enlightening, but you can see that this is the same as, or almost the same as Banach-Lie-Poisson submanifolds that are extendable to convex Hull in the sense that manifolds that understood as spaces of states with like some framework that we don't know, but when we extend to convex hull, we have a convex set. So you can, for example, think in terms of GPTs, or like more generally, like any convex approach, like Alston-Schutz type approach. And then they are those precisely who have like Jordan structure in a specific way associated with there are like three possibilities there, like how Lie and Jordan structure can be connected to each other. Other one corresponds to like this W star algebraic, other is probabilistic, and third one is kind of, actually I don't remember, third, always when I read it I forget it, but like apparently something like not really interesting. Okay, but this is just temporary movement. At the end, the conjecture is that W star algebras can be reconstructed as BLP manifolds with Riemannian structure induced from relative entropy, such that when you extend this, that if you do a convex hull over this manifold, then the on the boundary this the induced structure, the structure that's induced from the Poisson structure has to should be symplectic structure. The structure that is induced from relative entropy, well, should be also admit the extension to the boundary as a Riemannian metric, and then they should satisfy a Keller compatibility condition. So there should be like unique convex, complex structure such that this is a Keller. And no W star algebras, no algebraic approach at all involved, pure geometry, we get W star algebras, hopefully. No proof yet, but work in progress. Okay. Yeah, so, I covered half of the talk. I think it's like legitimate and honest with respect to your time to stop here, but let me just browse and see whether I can add something that would add something quickly and well without consuming too much of your time. Because, okay, so like, I just want to get to the moment of adjunction. Because like somehow I haven't, can I have those 2 minutes ish? Okay. I was kind of maybe even semi-actively arguing in favor of this, what I'm presenting to you as like interesting approach to quantum foundations. And I was like presenting some reasons for it, but like if someone is experienced with such things, one knows that like the details of, there are specific like things in like approaches to quantum foundations that should be especially like to put into attention. One of them is like how subsystems are constructed and whether, for example, the subdynamics associated with subsystems is consistently, you know, like combining together, like how you actually do subsystems and so on. And especially if one says like quantum theory and nonlinearity, you know, there's Weinberg and all this like bunch of papers. I mean, there are papers who are saying that it's impossible. There are like, for each of those papers, there are two papers who say, who provide the model that actually it's possible. It's a horror. But so like, instead of trying to like really see what those papers are proving and what disprovers are disproving, the better way is just let's construct like systematic operational semantics for whatever we want to do. And with this framework, especially because there is no reference to probability theory. Like I explicitly postulated different measurement theory for this framework, like different way of associating this with numbers. So like I think that like it's legitimate and even necessary to provide like explicit like operational semantics. Like if one wants to do it, then like let's start from basics and ask like what is the operational semantics like which is used in probability theory, for example, like what it really is or something. Let's consider an example, okay? Let's consider an example. Let's take the space of possible configurations, finite dimensional, and let's like use those points in the configuration space they would be labeling expectation values in our model. It's like commutative, it's like probability theory, okay? And let's have also space of registrations. So, and like let's say, so like here, for example, like are my favorite thermodynamical parameters that I would associate with expectation values, and I use maximum Gibbs-Shannon entropy procedure to construct a probabilistic model based on this space. This is like in one direction, I know how to go. Well, in the other direction, I also know how to go because it's just expectation values. So we have model construction and predictive verification that go in two directions. Well, apart from it, I can say, oh, but I can update my model and get other model provided I'm learning something new in the experiment. So I have registered something. So like registrations are something different than configurations. Registrations, in this you can think of it like some experimental category of experimental data, like very rudimentary, just registration, sets of registrations and sets of configurations and morphisms registrations. And here we have like probabilistic models. And well, I choose like my favorite, so like relative entropy updating, but you can choose whatever Markov morphisms if you know how to parameterize them by epistemic data. Okay, so you can say that there is something like this. And in, like the first attitude would be, we would like, what does it mean that we have a consistent operational like semantics for, like what does it mean that such framework would be consistent? One would say, okay, whatever I put here, I would get here, and maybe those arrows should commute. And like, you know, there's like various different possibilities. Okay, so let's first like generalize it to the setting that I'm using. So like here we have like this principle that I told you at the beginning, like about the how observables are related with like those, this is what I called experimental functions. I really, if you would give me a good name for it, I would just start using it. I'm kind of a bit unhappy with this name. But and here you kind of produce like model, just produce some model, like you have some procedure of model construction. Here we have some updating and so on. So like, and yeah, there is no need to use linear expectation type constraints here or anything like this. So, but what we should care about is the relationship between model construction, which is information encoding from data, inference, which is information processing, and predictive verifiability, that actually like we decode information and we assert that in some sense it agrees, yeah? So like, yes. Last slide, okay? Okay, oh yeah, you're right, thanks. So basically the statement is that like if you think in like generic terms of category theory, that such procedure is implemented by an adjunction. And in mathematics it's, I mean this what I'm saying here from the perspective of like mathematician who is trained in category theory is like next to trivial in the sense like, oh, you said so many things just to postulate an adjunction. But it's not trivial that actually it fulfills the semantics that we want to have for the, for what we would call the relationship between model construction and predictive verifiability. And why actually, what does it mean that we have an adjunction? Basically, if you state that the method of encoding should be the most effective solution to the problem provided by the given decoding, then this is precisely the condition that has to be satisfied. It's like, if you would put other criteria for how category of experimental data and category of theoretical models and inferences should be related, if you would like put other other requirement, then you would not get an adjunction. So it's like, it's not like universal solution, it's just implementing this specific requirement. So this is like a sort of postulate. And my last statement is that like recently, I'm investigating this direction since like 2012, like in late, like in December of previous year, like there was this paper by Lydia Del Rio, Leah Kramer, and Renato Renner. And they proposed the framework for resources theories of knowledge that are based on posets and Galois adjunctions. And my claim that I hope like very quickly release the paper is that it's everything what is there is just a special application of a framework that starts from here and like adding some operational criteria for this factorial adjunction based semantics. Like in special cases, you just derive these things that they do for posets. So actually, like I was very happy. So actually, this all the setup contains, and they in their paper they built relationship with like Bayesian probabilities, Dempster-Shafer theories of knowledge, like quantum mechanics with subsystem combined, not necessary by means of tensor product, and so on. So like I wanted to say that this might seem like super abstract and arbitrary, but there is very very concrete implementation that seems to be doing the job for specific applications. Okay, thank you.
Assign any interpretatorial meaning to the set Q you have to choose to get a certain formula, or if it's just in any further sense arbitrary?
Oh no, it's like very specific. For example, you might think of like the very common example is that you just say that expectation values of self-adjoint operators have to be given by specific numbers. Okay, maybe I'll give you like actually I will write something on the blackboard. So, like assume that you have some parameters like energy, and you know how to measure it in your experiment. So, you take those values of energy and you do the arithmetic average. This is a procedure that you do with data. And then the model construction principle, I'm giving an example for model construction principle and not updating principle, because basically the functional analytic aspect is the same, just the application is different. But like, how to say, the understanding of how this procedure works is the same basically. Like how the constraints for like work. So, for the nonlinear process of construction of state given specific data represented by a convex set. So when you take those average numbers of your energy, average like actually like 1 plus, plus E1 plus blah 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 plus En divided by N, then there is like very non-trivial postulate that can be justified, but it's also like such things we just assume to have any sort of predictions, that this arithmetic average should be considered to be equal to expectation value of this what we consider an observable in a given state. Like there is actually no principle why this construct of our mind should correspond to like average of some numbers that we have measured. Like there is no reason for it, but it postulated anyways. And then if you go along several parameters, you get an affine constraint, yeah, because you have like. Somehow I prefer to do quantum by unknown reason, but like this is a sort of constraint that you put. You know this, but you don't know this guy. And now you want to construct probability such that you have maximum of integral. Oh, it's like, sorry. Trace log rho given rho belongs to the set C such that in the set C such that this holds. Yeah. So this is an example of like how affine complex constraints arise. You can also put situations. You might not say that, like in my measurement, I'm able to actually get equality. You can say, oh, I may have just higher bound, like lower estimate. Like you can say that only half plane in the space of parameters is stated. Like basically, the type of sets you would choose represents specific epistemic type of knowledge that you have access to. And the nice thing is that naturally this procedure can give no answers, but as opposed to quantum field theoretic infinities, which are interpreted ontologically and you are doomed, here just a lack of result tells you that you have underspecified your knowledge or overspecified. It depends like what type of like lack of which condition like existence or uniqueness you get. So in a sense, like the choice of specific, and now, like you can have different functionals, and it's a property of functional more or less which type of complex sets, complex affine sets, usually produce the unique answers. So like, you can say that only some specific data type is. I mean, you have different tools to deal with different data types. Yeah. But the same is like, for example, imagine like you have different money in your pocket, like, you know, like dollars or like Zimbabwe dollars, yeah? Like if I would go with my Zimbabwe dollars to Canadian shop, probably like it would not work with this information updating device, yeah? Like maybe they will update me to like psychiatric hospital, but like not really to you know, getting my first Buddha or something like. So in a sense, like this is a sort of, that's why consideration of variety of relative entropies, and this is what actually people do in quantum information, is precisely like this is what you want to have. Like uniqueness would be dooming out your possibility to dealing with different information, like for different knowledge structures.
In this framework, you said in some good cases that you could get these entropic projections, which include kind of some update rules for people's knowledge or something. In good cases, they occur as some kind of geodesic flow. And then in particular, they're kind of, you've like sort of smoothed them out, this projection becomes sort of like continuous or something.
Yes.
And then you mentioned you wanted to, I think this was in this section, which maybe you didn't have that much time on, but the sort of like local reconstruction picture.
Yes.
You explained that you could mix this flow with time evolution, and this should give you some kind of like.
This was a kind of ansatz here.
This local effect of dynamics. Yeah. Could you kind of just elaborate more kind of philosophically on what you?
Yes,
how you see that, like sort of from the foundation.
Basically, my final goal is to deconstruct GR as some fancy, spooky form of information processing theory that we kind of are unable to debunk for such a long time. I mean, like I'm not saying it's like my goal in the sense that I will be able to achieve it, but somehow the motivation that drives me in developing those constructions and kind of thinking of them too. So, for example, like I'm thinking about having like. Reconstruction of quantum mechanics locally, because I believe that like at the end of the day, if we have to play, we would like to have a place for relativity in our theories, yeah, then we would like to have those things like non-siblings only just locally in the laboratory, which would correspond to like Lorentz frames or whatever would remain from Lorentz frames locally. So this is something, this like thinking that is in the background. And now in the foreground, there is this idea that I don't believe that inference or causality, one of them is really fundamental, more fundamental than the other. It's like, when I started to study physics, I was put to become an ontologist. Later, I read James, and like for 10 years, I was fighting like radical epistemic deconstructor. But like these days, I think that actually under influence of Rob and like his semantic showing the importance of thinking about causality as something like of meaning and of value, I want to say that I think that like both causality and inference are kind of it's really like thinking about, like if I would say categorically, it's like thinking of automorphisms of monad and comonad, really. Somehow, in the sense like you cannot, like a comonad of states and monad of effects, like categorically speaking, or like if you do Haskell or something like this. So in the sense, if you don't consider any of those forms of dynamics as more fundamental than other, then you would like to, and you are thinking about localizing dynamics, you would naturally would like to see how is it possible at all to have like the sort of localization that would be like putting them on the equal basis. I'm reducing all the time the level of philosophicality, but I understand that also you wanted to actually understand the motivations for doing this, yeah? Because So this is like something along this type. Then you can think, for example, in practical applications, we have Lindblad, Kosakowski, Gorini, Schudersan dynamics, which is basically you can think of it like localization of CP3 maps, like non-Hamiltonian evolution. That you can, for example, derive from set groups and so on. And the thing is that like in this dynamics, you have part that is Hamiltonian, and you have part that is corresponds to, like, for example, dissipative theory and so on, but they are added to each other. So like if you start just from the paradigm of CPTP maps and you ask about localization of such maps, they don't give you the preference between inference and causality. The same CPT maps, like even like this deconstruction, that is like this widely known deconstruction of CPT maps into more. The deconstruction like projective, inter-evolution projective measurement, partial trace, like it doesn't give a preference to any of those. So in a sense, like somehow when you think information theoretically about physical dynamics, and you are not really like subscribing to any preferred philosophical view, but just try to trace systematically what mathematics is telling you about things, yeah? And you have always some sort of duality. I would actually say that in my opinion, like basically my main philosophical principle is that I don't have to write it. It's that induction is adjoint to deduction. It's like to put it like just explicitly on the table. And if you like think categorically, if you like want to build categorical models for inference and causality, you will have comonad and comonad. You can consider their automorphisms, endomorphisms on the equal basis. And like if you take two observers with their comonad and comonad, there's always a sort of a priori sort of equality between them. So there is no reason for subjecting one of those forms of dynamics to the other form of dynamics. So this is like the underpinning and motivation for the... And at the end of the day, you know, like, this is pretty striking that like almost the only legit form of formal mathematical foundation for continuous time path integration actually puts on the equal basis. In order to make it really sound, you need both symplectic form, and affine connection. And it's like, I mean, here it's like my proposal, but like, as I told, on pure state, it reduces to Cloudera version, and it's there. It's like, you know, it's a legit result. It's you have both forms of inference, or both forms of dynamics already built in. Inconsistent, regularized. I mean, also the fantastic thing about this this D-guy and Clouder is that actually this quantization is covariant under all symplectic morphisms, which is not the case for most quantization, including path integral quantization. So it's like very, very, very strong, and this thing puts also like inference and causality on the same level. So and you know, path integration as a thing. It's, you know, this is, I consider this as a legit argument, because like when you do algebraic approach, like sister algebras and double sister algebras and whatsoever, like you can go with automorphisms of the algebras, but somehow it already breaks the symmetry by definition. You know, like operator algebras are Hamiltonian approach, yeah? And so it's already kind of, it's already choosing on which side of this epi-onto duality, you know, the mathematics is built. However, for path integration, we don't have in most cases, we don't have like mathematical foundations. But in the case when we have, epi and onto are dynamics are of the same on the equal footing.
Could you please say briefly again how you get from your entropic distances to the remaining metrics? It seems to be strange to me because the D thing.
This is Christoffel's symbol. Christoffel's symbol is third derivative, but look in which in this index you have which
the metric is just the top one.
The remaining metric is the top. And maybe there is no minus. I'm always wrong with this minus and plus. In this case, here are minuses definitely, but here maybe I would need to actually, you know, calculate it.
Imagine if D had started as a geodesic distance, like here, a priori, you don't know you have any geodesic distance, you just take one of these guys under some kind of minimal hypotheses. But in the event that it had happened to start as a geodesic distance, this would be how you might attempt to find the metric. And it sort of turns out in good conditions, I guess.
So D has D needs to be a distance already.
No,
so.
I mean, distance, when I use the term distance.
Your notion of distance, this is why I was asking.
It's actually. The paper of Iguchi is, I consider this like one of very unexpected and beautiful results in geometry that nobody would expect them to appear, like very fundamental in the sense, like it's such late time of our culture, in the sense that like it's just a function that satisfies a single property, which means it's zero whenever x equal to y, and then this is like one property. The other property is you assume smoothness in both indices, and the third property you assume that the Hessian is positive. And given this, basically reading this paper is super instructive. Like there is explicit calculation. Like so. We can also like read this book of Amari. Do you remember whether Amari is doing like explicit calculation?
Yeah, I
think
so.
Yeah, but
in the older book.
Yeah, in the older, like 85. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But basically, you can think of it, you know, like super, super simple. Like think that you have some function, and these are basically vectors, and then. You know, it's kind of, it's already functional on vectors, yeah? So you just need to secure the properties of the metric, and then you just need to check whether those manipulations with those vectors give you the properties of the metric. So it's like, it's not hard. It's
And on which space are you again with D?
Arbitrary. Arbitrary is not fundamental. That's the point. You don't need to have any sort of measures, you don't need to have any sort of algebra. This is the power of this result. And like precisely like the fact that like which derivation works for arbitrary smooth manifolds is the reason that I can claim that there is a chance for reconstruction. Because like there would be like no reconstruction if the measures for operator algebras presume. This would be like faking. But like actually you can do it on any smooth manifold.
Do you have a similar or analogous formula for this on your algebra?
I don't hear you.
Sorry. Do you have a similar or analogous formula to this on W star algebras?
This is arbitrary smooth manifold. So if you take the smooth manifold of fateful states, it has precisely the same form. You would just get different quantitative results, but this is like for any. It's for any.
Yeah.
For any smooth manifold.
He sort of gave a long list of examples, just like two slides before, where he says the different D's one could take.
No, this was not what I meant. But okay.
I think this you express this way, but this is an example. I mean, again, to calculate it, it's not so easy. Like actually, I want to again refer to Anna's like. I would say that Anna is a worldwide expert in actually calculating of those things. I mean, like, in my opinion, which. but like, there is, you know, like, you can take very, really, like, you can take whatever and put it into a machine. The problem is that calculating Gattot derivative in the non-commutative case. Or Fréchet derivative, even if you have like finite dimensionality, it's, I mean, you have to take care of non-commutativity, which might be problematic. I mean, like, you need to work your way through this, yeah? And especially calculating connections is a hassle. I wanted to make this accessible, so actually I have not given the explicit formulas for the connections, but they are like, the general formulas for like general classes of entropies can be really bombastic.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.